Okay, so let's do a quick review of the first parak of Ma'id Katan. The Mishnah says as follows, Mishnah Aleph, Mashkin Beis HaShlachin B'Moed of HaShviyas. You're allowed to water a Beis HaShlachin. That's a field that needs, that can't just rely on rainwater alone. It has to be watered constantly by people. Mashkin Beis HaShlachin, you're allowed to water a Beis HaShlachin B'Moed on Chol HaMoed because in order to prevent a significant loss, we can afford to be nakel about certain activities. So Bashviyas and in the Shemitah year as well, even though you're not allowed to do work the land in the Shemitah year, and watering the land would be Asr Midrabanan, but when there's a hefset at stake, Tazal Ramekel. Bein Mimayan Shayatza Batchila, Bein Mimayan Shayatza Batchila. Whether you're using waters from a freshly formed spring, whether you're using waters from a spring that's not freshly formed, in other words, it's an old, firmly established spring, so you're allowed to use water from either one. But you are not allowed to water from rainwaters that have been gathered together in like some sort of marshland. We're nervous that you're going to end up schlepping the water with buckets, which would involve a significant tircha, so there was no leniency for that. And you're not allowed to use water from a meha kilon, which is a deep pit that would involve hoisting up the water. That would be significant tircha, so there was no leniency for that. Then osin ugios for gavanim, and you're not allowed to make ugios for the gavanim. The ugios are like these little furrows that they made around the stems of the vines in order to fill them with water so that they would irrigate the vines. And so you're not allowed to do any of those things because even though there's a loss at stake, but there's no heter for malach in these cases because it involves significant tircha, significant labor. Okay, Mishnah Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, in osinasa ama. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you're not allowed to make an ama. What's an ama? An ama is an amas hamayim. It is an irrigation ditch. We call it an ama because it typically was an ama. Why? So you're not allowed to make an ama batchila for the first time, because it involves significant labor. Ubashviyas, same thing in the Shemitah year. You are not allowed to make this irrigation ditch in the Shemitah year. Why not? Why aren't you allowed to make it in the Shemitah year? Because it looks like you are hoeing the ground. And we know that it's usher to do a malacha on the karka in the Shemitah year. Okay, but that's Rabbi Lazar's opinion. They say, we disagree with you. You are allowed to make an irrigation ditch, a fresh irrigation ditch, in the Shemitah year, because the Chacham have the opinion that it doesn't look like you're hoeing. It's pretty clear that you're throwing away the dirt that you're digging up, and you're not just turning it over. You are allowed to fix up the ruined ones in Anchol HaMoed. In other words, the irrigation ditches that have been blocked up, maybe dirt has collapsed in, and the water is not flowing freely, so you're allowed to fix those up. You're allowed to fill up, you're allowed to fix up the ruined waters, that's literally what it means, that are in Rosh HaSarabim. This means the gutter pipes that flow into the Rosh HaSarabim. So those, you're allowed to fix them up. The Chotetim Rosam, you're allowed to clean them out. And Chol HaMoed. Umesaknen HaSadrachim V'Tzarachovos, you're allowed to fix up the paths or the streets that have gotten ruined in the rain. V'Es Mikvos HaMayim, or the pools of water that have gotten, that have become dirty in the rainy season. Va'osin kol tzarchei rabim, and you are allowed to do pretty much all, anything necessary for the public, you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. U'metzanin es ha'kvaros, you're allowed to mark off the graves. We said that they would do this, they would put plaster on them in order so that it would serve as a marker so that the Kohanim would know that there is a gravesite here and that they shouldn't walk over the gravesite and become tamed. Yotzin apol ha'klaim, and we said that Bezdin can dispatch messengers in order to go inspect if there's climb, if the climb that was supposed to be uprooted was in fact uprooted, and if the climb was not uprooted, then the messengers of Bezdin will uproot it themselves. Okay, that's Mishnah Beis. Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov says as follows, Moshkem es amayim me'ilon le'ilon, you're allowed to draw, to drag water from one tree to another. What that means is that suppose that the ground is not level, and there's water that's collected more by one tree than by other, and a significant amount of water, so that it's almost like a small pool of water right by the tree. So you're allowed to drag it, maybe like sponge, from one tree to another. Ubavach lo yashke es kol hasada, provided that you are not dragging water to water the entire field. We said there are different opinions about what kind of field are we talking about. Are we talking about a sada beis habal, a field that typically depends on rainwater? Are we talking about a beis hashlachin? Okay, zirayim shaloshasu lefnei hamoed, seeds that literally did not drink from before Chol HaMoed. What that means is that they didn't start growing through rain, through water. Lo yashkin b'mod, you are not allowed to water them and Chol HaMoed. because there's no hefsed at stake here. There's no loss at stake. They didn't begin growing independent and become dependent on water. But the chachamim are matter for this one and for this one. In other words, what that means is that they allow watering the entire sada. You're allowed to drag the water from one tree to throughout the whole field, and you're allowed to water seeds that did not begin drinking before Yom Tov. Why is it? So we said that the basic nekudas hamachlokas was whether not only are you allowed to prevent a loss, but are you allowed to profit on Chol HaMoed. If you have a profit that's at stake, not a loss, but you're not going to end up profiting if you don't do something, you're allowed to engage in melacha. Okay. The halacha for this, by the way, is actually like Rabbi Yisrael and Yaakov, not like the Chachamim. Okay, Mishnah Dalin. Tzadin es ha'ishos ves ha'chbarim misteh ha'ilan misteh ha'lavan shalo kedarko b'moed v'shvias. Tzadin, you're allowed to trap as ha'ishos. We said this was like a mole or some sort of weasel that was very destructive to the fields, ves ha'chbarim, or the mice that were also destructive to the fields. So you're allowed to trap these things from a sada ha'ilan, that's an orchard of some sort, or misteh ha'lavan, or from a wheat field. From a distance it looks white, so we call it a stale lovin. It's some sort of grain field. Shalok kedarko, as long as you're not doing it in the typical way that you typically trap on a normal weekday, you have to use a shinoi of some sort. So you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because, again, these things cause a loss to your field. And same thing, b'shvias and b'shmita, you're also allowed to. The potential issue over here is that sometimes trapping them involved digging ditches in the ground, but still, we're not gozer, we're not concerned that it looks like you're doing some sort of plowing on the field. Okay, that's the opinion of the Tanakam. The Chacham Omrim, the Chacham say, Misteh Ha'ilan Kedarko, actually, when you are trapping in the Misteh Ha'ilan, you can do it in the typical way that you trap them. Misteh Ha'lavan, but if we're dealing in a Misteh Ha'lavan, in a wheat field of some sort, so they're Shalok Kedarko, then you have to use a Shinin. What's the difference? The difference is that in a Misteh Ha'ilan, there's a significant loss at stake, while when we're dealing with a Misteh Ha'lavan, there isn't as big of a loss at stake, and so therefore you would have to use a shinoi. Makarnas appears at Bamoed, you are allowed to, literally we said a kir is a wall, so this is the verb form, which would be Makarnas appears, you're allowed to wall up the breach in a fence on Chol HaMoed. In other words, if there's some sort of a hole in your garden fence, for example, you're allowed to block it up in a sort of a temporary way, maybe arranging stones without fixing them in place with mortar or pitch. So you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to block up the hole. Ubashvi is in a Shemitah year as well. Bona Kedarko, you're allowed to build it in the typical fashion. You're protecting the fruit in the field, so you're allowed to build it properly. Fine. That's Mishnah Dalet. Mishnah Hey, Reb Meir Omer, Ro'anis and Nega'im Batchilu Lahakil. Avalo Lahachmer. We may examine Nega'im. These are the discolorations that are tzaras. You can check them out for the very first time, as long as you are being lenient. Avalo lahachmer, but you may not be stringent. Now, what that means is, we said that in order to determine whether a person is tameh or tahar, when he has tzaras, he has to go to the kohen, and the kohen has to examine him, and he's going to diagnose this person if he's tameh and has to be excommunicated or not. Put into quarantine, chutz l'machana. So Reb Meir says, look, the Kohen has an option to be silent if the person is in fact Tamei. So rather than announce him that he's Tamei, don't be Machmir, just keep silent. But if he doesn't have Tzaras, then there's nothing wrong with declaring him Tahar. So you can examine the Negayim and declare the person to be Mako, or you can just be quiet, not tell him anything on Yom Tov so that you don't ruin his Yom Tov. The Chacham Momrim Lo Lahakav Lo Lahachmir. The Chacham say back, no, don't bother examining at all, not to be lenient, not to be stringent. You can't pick and choose. If the guy shows up to your door with tzaras and he has tzaras and you're the kohen, you have to tell him the psak. You have to tell him if he's tameh or if he's tahar. So rather, just don't get involved. Don't examine anything on Chol HaMoed. Va'odam Rabbeir. Rabbeir said further, malakit adam atzmos avi v'imo. You can gather up the bones of your father or your mother on Chol HaMoed. Why was that? We said that they used to gather up the bones in order, they would let the bodies first sit in a temporary grave in order so that the flesh will decay. After the flesh decayed, they would gather together the bones and put it in with the rest of the family's burial plots in the family, kever. And so Meir thinks that this is not such a bad thing. This is a simcha for him. Rabbi Yossi says, no, this is not a simcha for him. This is a very depressing thing for him. This is a day of mourning for him. Okay. Lo ya'or adam ami. So a person should not arouse others over his dead. In other words, you shouldn't get other people involved to commiserate with him and to cry with him. V'lo yaspi denu kodem l'regel shloshem yom. You should not eulogize for his dead within 30 days of Yom Tov. And we gave a couple explanations of what that means. One understanding is that we don't want you hiring a eulogist within 30 days of Yom Tov, because within 30 days is when you start preparing for Yom Tov, and you're supposed to be putting aside money to be able to fund your Yom Tov, to pay for Yom Tov. And so we're nervous that if you hire a special eulogist, which is what they typically did, so if you use that money for hiring a eulogist, you're not going to have money for Yom Tov, and you're going to miss out on Simchas Yom Tov. Okay. Mishnah Vav, in chofen kuchin ukvarus b'moed, you're not allowed to dig. Kuchin, we said, are catacombs. Those are the graves that they put in the walls of caves. Ukvarus, or graves, on chol hamayin. Avol mechanchim is a kuchin b'moed. But if you have a kuch, if you have a catacomb that was made prior to Yom Tov, you're allowed to fix it up, to widen it, to longen it, because that doesn't involve a significant of a tircha. V'osin nivreches b'moed, you're allowed to make a pool on chol hamayim. We said a pool, we said there was a number of different explanations. The simple understanding is that this is a pool for, for doing laundry. So you're allowed to make a nivreches b'moed. So we said that also might be that you're using it for washing yourself, or washing the mace, or washing the tachrichim, the shrouds for the mace. V'aronim ha'mace b'chatz, you're allowed to make an aron, coffin for a corpse, if as long as the corpse is with you in the chatzur where you are fashioning that aron. In other words, you're allowed to saw wood from tree logs in order to make this aron, and as long as the maze is in the same chatzur, so that it's very clear that you are doing all this work in order to make an aron for this maze. Rav Yehuda Oser, Yehuda actually prohibits making an aron even if the maze is with you in the same chatzur. Elam kin yeshimo nisharm, unless you have the boards, the planks of wood that are already pre-made before Yom Tov, then you're allowed to finish off the process, but you're not allowed to saw boards from scratch on chol hamayim. Ein nosin, so Mishnah Zayin, ein nosin nashim b'moed v'lo besulos v'lo amanos. A person is not allowed to get married al yidei nisuin on chol hamayim. We said that there's two steps in the process. There's kedushin, there's nisuin. Nisuin is the final step in the marriage when a man can be together with his wife. So he's not allowed to do nisuin on chol hamayim. Lo besulos v'lo amanos, not with a girl who is a virgin who has never been married before, and not with a girl who is an amana, who's been widowed. V'lo miyamin, you're not performing yibum. We said yibum was that when if Reuven and Rachel get married and Reuven dies without having any children, so Shimon has a mitzvah to essentially marry al yidei yibum Rachel. So v'lo miyamin, you don't do yibum that forms into a form of marriage. V'vnesha simcha yilo, because this involves a great deal of simcha. So in contrast to what we discussed before, that you're not allowed to do things on Yom Tov that involve distress, or that are not pleasant things to do, so you're not allowed to distract yourself from Simchas Yom Tov with some other Simcha. You ain ma'arvin Simcha b'Simcha. You have to focus your energies and emotion on the Simcha of Yom Tov. Avol machzirhu as gerusha, so but a person can return. He can get remarried to his divorcee. If Reuven and Rachel got married and they got divorced and then they decided to get back together again, they are allowed to reunite on chol hamayid. V'osa osa isha tachshita b'moed, and a woman is allowed to do all kinds of her makeup on chol hamayid. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lotosad. Rabbi Yehuda says actually there's one kind of thing that she cannot do for cosmetics, and that is she's not allowed to apply plaster to her skin on chol hamayid, and they used to do that in order to remove hair. Why not? Because it is something that's unpleasant, that's disgusting for her, because while the plaster is on her body, it causes her distress, it causes her pain. Okay, that's Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah Ches, ha-hedyet tofer kedarko. A hedyet is an unprofessional, non-professional person, is allowed to stitch, he's allowed to sew on chol hamayid. Kedarko, in his typical manner that he would on a normal weekday, a hedyet is allowed to do on chol hamayid. The ha'uman, a professional sewer, tailor, machlev, he is allowed to do a sort of sloppy, uneven job with his stitching on chol hamayid. Misargenes amidos, you're allowed to weave or interlace the ropes, the cords that they used to use in order to form the base of the bed. So you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, but Rabbi Yossi says Af Mematchen. And some say, we said if you take out the word Af, that's how some versions have it. It's that it's Mematchen. Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing, and he's saying you're allowed to stretch the cords, you're allowed to tighten the cords if they're loose, but you're not allowed to interlace them. Okay. Mishnah Tes, Ma'amidin Taner V'Kirayim V'Rechayim L'Moed. You're allowed to stand up a Taner and a Kirayim. A Taner, we said, was an oven that was cone-shaped in order to concentrate as much heat as possible. And the Kirayim is like a box that has two stovetops, two burners on top, that serves as like a stovetop. So Ma'amidin Taner V'Kirayim V'Rechayim L'Moed. Rechayim is a mill. You're allowed to stand up all these things, erect them on Chol HaMoed. The way that some explain is you're allowed to build them, you're allowed to set them up, you're allowed to adjust them on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because you need all these things in order to cook and to bake on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mechabshin Etz Reichayim Batchila. Rabbi Yehuda says you are not allowed to, we said this is the puncturing, the poking that they used to do, the sharpening of the millstones in order to make it jagged and not to make it a smooth surface so that it would better grind the grains, so they'd have to make sure that it's jagged. So you're allowed to puncture, to gouge these millstones that they were using in order so that they could better mill the grain. Mishnah Yud, Osin Ma'aka L'Gag L'Marpeses. You're allowed on Chol HaMoed to make a Ma'aka for the Gag and for the Marpeses. Marpeses, you're allowed to make the Ma'aka. The Ma'aka is the fence that you have to make on top of your roof, some sort of a tent type of fence, in order to prevent people from falling off your roof. Marpeses is like the porch or the balcony. We said that if it was a two-story house, the people who lived in the second story would access their second story, the entrances, from the outside. There were stairs leading up to their balcony. And so they would need a ma'aka for that balcony. So you're allowed to make that ma'aka for a gag or for marpeses on Chol HaMoed. Ma'isa hedyet, as long as you do it in more of a temporary, unprofessional way, perhaps using stones without using pitch or something. You're not allowed to do a professional, solid job. Shafanas ha-sedakin, you're allowed to smear over with tit the cracks that you have in your roof so that you make sure that no rain goes into your house. You're allowed to roll over the pitch using rollers, bayad of a regular, or using your hand or using your foot. You're not allowed to use this special implement, the special metal implement that they used to use in order to smooth over the mortar, the pitch. Hatsir, if you have the tsir v'hatsiner, this is the hinge or the socket of a door, the hakora or the beam that they had on top, v'hamanol or the lock, v'mafteach or the key shenishbru. If any one of these items broke, misaknan b'mod, you're allowed to fix these things up on Chol HaMoed because there's a davar avid at hand. At stake. There's a loss at stake because we don't want people, we don't want ganavim to be able to get into your house. As long as you don't intend on doing this activity on Chol HaMoed. In other words, if you knew that this had to be done before Yom Tov, you can't plan on doing this on Chol HaMoed. The kol kivashin, any pickled item, anything that you need to pickle, shuhu yachalachom and b'moed, that you would be able to eat them on Chol HaMoed. In other words, you didn't pickle them too soon in advance. You will want to pickle them on Chol HaMoed itself. You're allowed to do that as long as they will, as long as the pickling process for these items is not very slow, and you'd be able to eat them on Chol HaMoed. Kofshin, then it's permitted to pickle such things on Chol HaMoed. Okay.